Tuesday, 10th of October. Kof Tishri Dali Dachala Moit Sugis. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. Talm Teiru Tashba, and he's speaking on creating pipelines.
Good morning, everyone. It's an absolute cover to be standing here today. Apart from that, a simcha to be standing here today. We're holding within special days, beautiful days, to go to Simchas Beis HaShoeiva in the evening to see the Olim together. And Beis Hashem, we should come out, all of us, with a shafa, brocha, tzlocha, siyata d'shmaya, and all our prayers should be answered.
Amen.
One of the underlying fundamental themes that we've been busy with over the last month, maybe even a month and a half already, is the concept of tefillah. Beginning with Rosh Chodesh Elul, going into Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, every single tefillah approaching it within a different aspect of tefillah, but each one had the same underlying theme, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking for our needs, and crowning HaKadosh Baruch Hu on top of it all. And seeing there's such an integral part of this month, I want to discuss a simple but powerful idea which is relevant for all of us throughout the year regarding tefillah. I'm going to ask three questions. I'll say over the Yesod Bezras Hashem, and then hopefully we'll answer a few other questions and discuss a little bit about it. So question number one. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Tezayin b'chag nedoinin al hamoyim. On Sukkot, Klal Yisrael are judged, it's decided how much water they're going to have. Nowadays we're spoiled, we go around, we go to our tap, we just turn it on, water comes out, you need some water, go to Tesco, it's very easy for us. But 60, 70, maybe a little bit earlier, it was Klal Yisrael understood, the whole humanity understood, without water we've got nothing going for us, we need it for our very existence. Water is vital for us. And on Sukkot it's judged exactly how much water everyone's going to get. Water is loved after water, includes a lot of other things, parnasa included. And on Sukkot everything's decided. So if we're discussing water, let's see where the first Makor is in the Torah. But Adam HaRishon, the Torah tells us something very interesting. Even before he was created, V'chol siach ha-sodeh terem yeh ba'aretz, V'chol esev ha-sodeh terem yitzmoch, Ki lo yimtir Hashem alekim ala Adam, ala Oretz, V'odom ayin la'avodesu Adamo. A pasuk in Perek Beis, pasuk Dalad, Hey and Vav. The Torah tells us something very interesting. The Torah says that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we all know on the third day, had already created fruits, fruit trees, vegetation, everything. But says the Torah that fruit and the vegetables had not emerged from the ground yet. Says the pasuk, why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not brought it out. Because V'odom Ayin La'avodes Adamo. Adam wasn't around. Explains Rashi B'Shem the Medrash. Something very interesting. The Adam HaRishon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for somebody to acknowledge and appreciate the importance of rain, what rain does to make fruit grow, and therefore he had to wait till Adam HaRishon was created. And once Adam HaRishon was created, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let the fruits and the vegetables come out from the ground. But until then he wasn't going to do it. And the question is, very simple, what's Pashat Pshat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. In this world he created the Teva. It's a cycle, he wants things to happen. Fruit grows from a tree. Vegetables grow from the earth. How does Adam HaRishon's tefillah come in? Why do we need tefillah for it? You created it, there's a cycle. You put seeds in the ground and it comes out. Why was Adam HaRishon's tefillah needed? Why was it so essential that the fruit cannot come out until he's davened? Is it so important, the tefillah? There's a cycle, let it happen by itself. Why was it needed? It's question number one. Question number two. There's a Gemara in the Dorim Pei Aleph. The Gemara in the Dorim says something very interesting. Mipnei ma ein tamidei chachomim, or mipnei ma ein motzui tamidei chachomim, sheyoytzin tamidei chachomim mibneihem. Why is it, asks the Gemara, that you don't see often tamidei chachomim who have children who are also tamidei chachomim? Why don't you find that? That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara lists several explanations, each one from a different Amora, and each one 100% MS. And at the end it quotes Ravina. Ravina says, Lefi she'in mevorchin batayr, because they don't make a birkas atayr. Rashi on the page already explains that you're not talking about people who chas v'chalil looked at Torah as a subject. You're talking about people who love Torah and they lived and breathed and breathe Torah. Torah was their life. But nevertheless, they just didn't get around to making bricks out of Torah. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm sorry, there's no children. Your children will not be Talmidei Chachamim. Again, what's Pasha teaching? Again, you got Talmud Chacham, he sits and does, he didn't make a big satayr. So you want to punish him, punish him. But again, we all know there's a middah connected middah. So at least give them a punishment that relates to what they've done wrong. But what has not having children with Talmidei Chachamim got to do with the fact that they didn't make a big satayr? And even more than that, so you've got one guy who was a massive Talmud Chacham, you've got another guy who was a massive Amar Oret, so I'm not going to give it to you because you didn't make a big satayr, but you are going to get it. He's much worse than me. What's the havana, the explanation here that because they didn't make a big satayr, they're not going to have children at Talmidei Chacham? There has to be a connection, and what isn't? These are the three questions. Question number one, Be'adam Arishan, why we needed his tefillah. Question number two, the Gemara on the Dorin Pe'aleph, why was it so important? Why, because they don't make a big satayr, they're not going to have children at Talmidei Chacham? And question number three is the Mishnah and Tanis. The Mishnah and Tanis says, it says Zion. The Mishnah says when there's no rain, so you have to, there's a whole list of tefillah you have to daven. And the first tefillah of the Misha Ono that we say is Misha Ono Lavram Avinu Bahar HaMeiria Hu Ya'aneinu. The one HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer Avram Avinu and Har Meiria when he shechted Yitzchak, he should answer us. And the Mashal already points out and he says, what tefillah did Avram Avinu do on Har HaMeiria that he was answered for? And the Mashal says, the tefillah that we're discussing is that he davened for something to shecht instead of Yitzchak. He davened for an aisle. And because he davened for it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an aisle. So we say, Misha Onad Avram Avinu, the one who answered Avram Avinu, the Har Meiria, he should answer us and give us an aisle. But the question is simple. The Medrash already tells us that B'Shas Bria Soilim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he had an aisle which was ready to be used instead of Yitzchak Avinu. This aisle is over 2,000 years old, it's waiting to be shechted. So where was Avram's tefillah needed? I don't need your tefillah, it's waiting. The aisle's there, it's saying, listen, I'm 2,000 years old already, come take me already, forget your tefillah. Why did we need Avram Avinu's tefillah that because Avram Avinu davened, oh, he got the aisle, now you can shecht it. It was there, it's been waiting. Who said he didn't know that? Is it so posh he didn't know that? It's so obvious, Avram Avinu Drech HaKodesh. So you're right, he did know at the time about Akedas Yitzchok. But there's an aisle, even if he didn't know that, but why did he need to daven? He should turn around, there'll be an aisle there. It's been waiting for 2,000 years, it should have just walked up at the time and come. Why was this tefillah needed? This tefillah, it sounds like, Mishon, this is a massive tefillah. You davened for it? Okay, you know what? I answered you, I'm going to give it to you. Forget davening. This aisle's been waiting, so when the time comes, the aisle will walk in and I'll shecht it. It sounds like there's a whole chaloisa. You need your tefillah, and now you davened, now I'm going to answer your tefillah. Why was it needed? These are the three questions. Okay, so here's the yesod, a beautiful idea, simple but powerful. The Kadmaim already speak out that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a chok within the world, a rule, that even if it's been decreed, it's been nigzar on a person, that a person is going to receive a bracha, hatzlachas, yata deshmaya, shefa, brios, whatever it's going to be, and it's got his name on in big letters, nevertheless, the person will not be able to receive whatever has been decided until he davens. Let's go a little bit deeper. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was kaveh, when he created the bria, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said like this, I want to give you stuff, and if I decide to give you stuff, it's got your name and I'm going to give it to you. But in order to get it, you have to create a channel, a pipeline, that I can send you the shefa through it. And without you creating that pipeline, without you creating that channel, it will not be able to get to you, even though it's there. There could be boxes and boxes and parcels waiting for us up in Shemayim. We davened for the last month and a half. We davened with all our koichas, and we're still davening. And we could have been zeicher to many, many, many things, Rezus Hashem. But it's all waiting up there. Now it has to be delivered. And the only one who can create the delivery system is us. And the way you do it, Zonim the Kadmonim, is through tefillah, a shackled tefillah. You understand when you buy something online, and you order it, and it comes to Tesco. You're paid for it, and it's yours, it's got your name on it in big letters. But when it's in Tesco, it's not going to come to you unless you go and fetch it, even though it's yours. So it's exactly the same thing here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he said, I ask your tefillahs and I'm happy to give it to you, but come and fetch it. The only way to fetch it is through tefillah. It's a terrifying thought on the one hand. To think that Leolenu, there could be a person, Leolenu, who's going through a difficult time, and he's got boxes and boxes up there waiting for him, collecting dust on. Imagine how many boxes we've got. But you just never chap that sometimes, not sometimes, always, the most important tool is the power of tefillah. And it's waiting for him. He just has to create that pipeline. The Al-Sheikh already says on the Pasuk, LaHashem HaYeshua, Al-Amcho V'Chosecho Selo, he teaches LaHashem HaYeshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got the salvation. He's waiting to give it to you. But Al-Amcho V'Chosecho, on condition, you have to come and bless me. You have to come and acknowledge and appreciate that I'm gonna, that I've got it for you. Open your mouth, ask me, then LaHashem HaYeshua. The Shlosh says the same thing. He says, Yoidu LaHashem Chastoi, if you're moided to Hashem, you say thank you, you daven to Hashem, then you're going to get it all. It's all there, it's all waiting. But you have to open your mouth and you have to say, I'm ready for it. That's how we get... that is the Yesod. So let's go a little bit back now. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Afei Amud Aleph, says something very interesting. It says, when Klal Yisrael stood at Matan Torah, the Gemara tells us, the Medrash already says earlier on that they lost the Yetzirah. They had no Yetzirah and they had Yerushalayim to its full extent. And the Gemara says that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to me, Yitain Vayel Avavi Zeh Im Iti Kol Hayomim. Halavai, that Klal Yisrael would be like this throughout their lives. That they would have Yerushalayim all their lives and have no Yetzirah. And the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael had to say two words. Atop ten. Give it to us. Please give it to us. Says the Gemara that Klal Yisrael would have said these two words and asked Hashem, give it to us when he offered it, we would have it and we wouldn't have a Yetzirah. But because Klal Yisrael didn't open their mouth and didn't ask for it, you don't ask for it, says Hashem, you're not going to get it. And the Gemara even calls us a name. It calls us Kofli Tova. I offered you something, says Hashem, and you didn't come along and grab it. And because of that, we want Zeicha to it. The same idea. Things are waiting and it's ready. Hashem says, I've got it all for you. But you didn't, no, after Matan Torah, they said Nazir, they're going to accept the Torah on themselves. But by Matan Torah, Hashem made that the Yetzirah disappeared. And when the Yetzirah disappeared, and they had a full Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Halavai, be like this all your life. If they would have said at that point, please let it be like that, they would have had it all their lives. But they didn't ask for it, says the Gemara. And that's why they want Zeicha to it. The Gemara, the Svarim also say, by Leo Imenu, there was four women, 12 Shvatim were going to come out of them. Leo Imenu had already had three. And she had a fourth one. And she acknowledged it. Hapam Oides Hashem, she called him Yehuda. You see someone who's got Hakara. But nevertheless, that same pasuk ends off and says, Vata'amoit mi ledes. She stopped giving birth. Not only she stopped, she couldn't give birth at that point. Says the Svarim, you know why? Because she didn't ask for it. If she would have opened her mouth and said, Hashem, please let me have another one, she would have had another one. But she didn't ask for it. You don't ask for it, you're not going to get it. She could have had more, but she didn't ask for it. That's what the Svarim say. And let's come back to the questions. We start off with a question from Adam HaRishon. Why did Adam HaRishon have to daven? The fruits and vegetables were there. They were just beneath the earth's surface. Why was this tefillah needed? Let the earth run its cycle. It's going to come out. The answer is the same idea. Hashem says, I've got everything ready for you. Everything's waiting. It's all going to come out. But you have to come and ask me for it. I need someone who appreciates that without rain, things cannot grow. You're not going to come and ask me, so I can't give it. So Adam HaRishon had to daven. Avraham Avinu also understood it. Maybe he knew, maybe he didn't know that the isle was all there waiting. It had been created 2,000 years ago. But Avraham Avinu understood that if you don't ask Hashem, even if it's there and it's waiting for you, I'm happy to give it, just got your name on. If you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it. The whole Akedis Yitzchok, that we were zeichet to shecht an isle, something instead of it, has such a big impact on Klal Yisrael. But only because Avraham Avinu understood this idea that you have to open your mouth and life. You have to ask for it, and if you don't ask, then you're not going to get. And the Beis Yosef already elaborates on Rashi in Adarim, and he says the same thing for the Gemara in Adarim. Why is it that Talmidei Chachomim didn't have children who are Talmidei Chachomim? They sit on the Torah all day, because they don't make a Birkas HaTorah. She says the same idea. He says, it's not a punishment. Hashem says, I'm not punishing you. But, Pasha, you didn't make a Birkas HaTorah. If you'd make a Birkas HaTorah, you say, you didn't ask me. If you don't ask me, then I can't give you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no punishment involved there. That's why they're not zeichah to children with Tamil Chomim, because they didn't make a big satayr. It's not a punishment. Just you didn't ask. I've got it. I'm happy to give it to you. But if you don't ask me, then it's not going to come. The answer, that's the answer for those three questions. The truth is, they say over when Reb Lein Malin came from Shanghai, yes, some of the people from the Mei went there to Israel, and some went to America. So when Reb Lein Malin went to America, they started off Kailul Mei. So there was a bacher there, a young bacher, 16-year-old, Reb Michal Shurkin, and he became very close to Reb Leibmalin. And he begged him to open yeshiva. He said, I'll take control, I'll sort out the bachurim, just agree to open yeshiva and give shurim. After a lot of pleading, Reb Leibmalin finally agreed. And Reb Michal Shurkin straight away went off to find bachurim. It was already the summertime, the oilam were in the mountains. So he travelled to the mountains and he found two bachurim and he brought them back with him. It was a 2-hour travel and they arrived there the next day. And they sat down, Reb Leibmalin, he gave them a faher. A proper, great, he mamish grilled them. At the end of the faher, you know, they're on shpilkas, you know, what's going to be. And Reb Leibmalin was silent. A minute passes, 2 minutes passes, 3 minutes passes. It's pretty uncomfortable. Think about it, 10 minutes, there was silence. And he picks up his head, he looks at him, he says, no, it's come through, enough, Svetog. Come back in 2 days. No, say that. He didn't know what exactly was going on, so they went. They went back to the mountain, and again, 2 days later, they travelled 2 hours, and the same scenario occurred. He pretended he hadn't seen them, took the same sugya, fahed them again on it, and again, he was quiet, and after 10 minutes again, no, it's kunstrik, not svetog. They're a little bit bewildered, puzzled, you know, what's he trying, they didn't understand, Rashi, you know. So they go back. On the third time round, so they're already getting a bit cleverer. So before the 10 minutes were up, one of the bochum there piped up, and he says, oh, Bereva, are we accepted? So he looks at him, he says, accepted. You accepted from the first day already. He says, so why didn't you tell us? It's because you didn't ask. You didn't ask. If you don't ask, then you don't get. You have to ask in life. If we don't ask, we're not going to get. Rav Shach used to say over from his uncle, Rav Zalman, that his uncle told him, that the Netziv had told him, that a day that goes past, that he doesn't cry in Ava Rabba, he's not Zeicher to be Mechadish Torah. You're talking about a Gol Muflug. And he said, this is the simple truth. If I don't cry about Abba Rabba, I'm not saying to Mechadish Lashay Torah. Because if you don't ask, it could all be there waiting for us. But if you didn't ask for it, it's not going to be able to come. The Masham brings down in his Tshuvas, B'Shem of Shmelkim Nicholsberg, he writes, that he can say 100%, if you don't daven for Siyata D'Shemaya and learning, and you will not be able to have Siyata D'Shemaya, you'll not be able to say Mechadish Torah. The same thing. And he writes that he had a bocha who came and said that I wasn't mechaven and I'm still zeichet to mechadish tayor. So Shmelko fahed him and he showed him the whole shikul tayor was wrong. It's the same idea. If you don't ask for things in life, you're not going to get it. Whether it's tayor, whether it's panos, whether it's yatid shmaya. This is the chok that Kodesh Baruch Hu created in the world. That things can only come if we create the pipeline, if we create the channel that can come through. That means there's things waiting and we can get it. But if we don't ask for it, it's not going to be able to come. Why was Kodesh Baruch Hu? Why was he conveyed like that? So the Rishonim say different explanations. The Rech Hashem explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he wanted to give humanity, people, one up over animals. He wanted to give us the power to control, to create, to use our intellect, not to use our instincts. He wanted to give us the dominion over animals, that we have a pride, we know who we are. And it's got tremendous, tremendous advantages. You know, we're powerful, we're people who can do things. On the other hand, there's a big disadvantage to it as well. Because when a person feels that he's too much in control, that he's got too much under his hand, then he forgets that there's really someone up there controlling it. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this rule, this chok, that even though I'm giving you the ultimate power to be able to do, to be able to decide, to be able to have the power, but nevertheless, if you don't come on to me, if you don't acknowledge and appreciate that there's someone on top of you who is the one who's really controlling everything, then I'm not going to give you that shefa. You have to daven to me. When you daven, you acknowledge and you appreciate that there's someone over you. Then you've created the pipelines, I'm happy to send it down to you, because now you've had that hakara. But if you don't have that hakara, then I'm not going to be able to give it to you. That is chelik aleph of the Yesod of Tefillah. Okay. We've got another 10 minutes. I just want to say over something got to do with Shana Rabbah. It's Erev Shana Rabbah, and Me'inin Le'inin Bo'ez Inin also got to do with Tefillah. But just to bring out the severity of Shana Rabbah, there's a lot of beautiful things said about Shana Rabbah. On the other hand, Shana Rabbah is a very, very powerful day, and I just want to bring it out. It's actually quite scary. I wasn't sure to say it over or not, but we can. So let's go for it. The Yalkut Shemoni says something very interesting. Yalkut Shemoni says that there's a bird called the Choyl. This bird, says Yalkut Shemoini, was the Choyl. Choyl, Chesvav Lamed. This bird, says Yalkut Shemoini, is that when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, he didn't only eat from the Eitz Hadas, he fed all the animals as well. The only creature that didn't eat from the Eitz Hadas was this bird called Choyl, says the Medrash. And therefore, this chol was zeicher to arichas yomim. It was zeicher, it's never going to die. That's the Yalkut Shemaini in Reish Mem Zayin, Chof Zayin. The problem is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says very clearly that after the Mabul, during the Mabul, when Noach was feeding the animals, this chol, this bird, it never made a fuss, it never shouted, it never pleaded, it never asked for food. And Noach said to it, "Are you not hungry?" So he said, "I am hungry, but I can see you're busy, so I'm waiting patiently." So Noach said, "Okay, if that's the case, you're going to be zeicher to arichas yomim." So I got a theory. And the pasuk says, "Takadilim ukechil arbe yomim," like the chil, which is arichas yomim, we should be zeicher to arichas yomim. The shayla is, well, why has the chil got arichas yomim? Because of Noach, or because of sheishish mei breishis nifan neizadas? What's the reason to it? One more question. That we're told by on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that there's two Sfarim open before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Sifrei Chaim and the Sifrei Mason. And when the Malachim wanted to say Halal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, "Is it possible you can daven to me and I've got the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mason, Psuchin Lefanov? You can't daven to me, it's a terrifying time." So Sifrei Mason, I understand, it's terrifying. Yeah, Lo Aleinu, a person doesn't want to be written in the Sefer Mason. But the Sifrei Chaim, that's not something scary. We want to be written in the Sefer Chaim. Why is that included in it? That it's terrifying. You know why? Because the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mason are open before me. It's terrifying because the Sifrei Mason is open before you. That's what's terrifying about it. What's the Sifrei Chaim got to do with it? So they bring down, Rosh Hashanah Pinkas brings down a beautiful idea, but very, very powerful. It says like this. It says, when the Chasam Sofer died, he died just after Hashanah Rabbah. Afsukas, yeah. So he said, before he died, he said to someone near him, he said, "Rosh Hashanah, I passed. Yom Kippur, I passed. Hashanah Rabbah, I didn't get through." Which doesn't make a word of sense. Because Rosh Hashanah, we all understand the person is written the Chaim and the Moves. He passed that, he was Eicher to Chaim. Yom Kippur, he passed. He was Nechtam for Chaim. So what's Hashanah Rabbah got to do with it? You've been given life, you're Nechtam L'Chaim. So you passed. But what? So why didn't you get through it? Why? What do you mean you didn't get through Hashanah Rabbah? So Rosh Hashanah Pinkas says an amazing idea. He says that, Weiss-Lacy says, that even if a person is being nigzal, that a person is not going to die, that a person is not going to die, that's not enough to enable him to live. He also needs a sibba, a reason, to be able to live. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'm not going to write you in a Sefer HaMesim, but if you're not written in a Sefer HaChayim, then there's nothing to talk about either. Because you have to have a sibba, a reason to be able to live." The Chasam Sofer said, "I was written in the Sefer HaChaim as well. And I was signed in the Sefer HaChaim. But in Hashanah Rabbah, when the Pesach is given over to the Malach to sort it out, my Pesach, which says the Chasam Sofer, that he's going to live, it wasn't given over. If that sibba to live is not being given over, he didn't make it to the Chasam Sofer. That's why he didn't live. Because it's not enough to have a sibba not to die. You have to have a sibba to be able to live. By the Sheishis Mei Bereishis, by the Eitz Hadas, so the Chil didn't eat from the tree. But even though it didn't eat from the tree, so there was no reason for it to be Nigza that it's going to die. But even though it wasn't decreed on it that it's going to die, but it needs a Sibba to live. And that's why it needed Noach's Bracha, that not only have you got no Sibba to die, but nevertheless, you need a Sibba to live as well. And that was the bracha that he gave me that was able to live. I'm going to explain
that
again.
What was the sibba that the Chasam Sofer did not have? He didn't.
The Pesach wasn't given over to the Malach. Why? We're told that in Hashanah Rabbah, even if it's being decided that someone's going to live, you have to have the Pesach being given over. And if the Chasam Sofer, the Shemingas, didn't have that, it wasn't given over to the Malach that he is going to be able to
Why
live.
Why not?
I don't know, I have to ask Kodesh Baruch Hu.
He didn't daven in Hashanah Rabbah?
He did daven, he didn't get through it. He said he wasn't zeicher to get through it for whatever reason. He wasn't zeicher. That's what the Chasam Sofer said. Okay, that's the Chasam Sofer says. That he went through Rosh Hashanah, he went through Yom Kippur, but he didn't get through Hashanah. That's the Chasam Sofer's words. The explanation that Rosh Hashanah was trying to say was that because it's not enough to have a sibba not to die, he'd have a sibba to be able to live. He actually writes that there was a person who went through a clinical death. And when he went to, when he was in Shemaim in Bezen Shalmaila, he writes that he was pleading and crying that he should be able to go back to live. And they said to him, "We've got tell us why. Why should we let you live?" So he said to them that he never read newspapers that weren't kosher, and he never listened to the radio. So he said to him, okay, that's very special, but that's not a reason that you, that's not, that, that's a reason that we shouldn't kill you, but you're anyway dead. So, and it's not enough of reason to allow you to live. So therefore we can't. So he cried again and he said, okay, one more thing. He said, let me be mefarsim, I'll be mefarsim in the rabbim, the nest that is happening to me. And I'll be mesoidim to do tshuva when they hear it. So he said, oh, that's a good reason. I will let you come back down. That's a good reason. Not only that you shouldn't die, that you should be able to live to mefarsim rabbim, the story, and that you can do, and that people will do tshuva. I'm just saying over the story to bring out this concept that there's two ideas. There's one concept called that a person is written the Sefer HaMeisim. And then there's another concept called that even if a person is not written the Sefer HaMeisim, he needs to be written in the Sefer HaChaim as well. That's the two things. So we have to remember when we get to Shana Rabbah, which is the day when the Pesach is being given over, that Be'ez Hashem, every single one of us in Klal Yisrael, that our Pesach should be given over to the Malach, that we should be Zeicha to Chaim as well. That's the importance and the power which lies in Shana Rabbah. Okay, so just to retract, we start off with three questions and we said over one important yesod, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a chok, with a rule, that it's impossible for anyone to receive that which was decreed already that he's going to get unless he asks for it by creating the pipelines to be able to get it. And yesod number two that we saw now from Rosh Hashanah Pinchas is that it's not enough ever for a person that it's been decided that he's not going to die. He also has to have a siva to live. And that's what he says with Shana, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, that it says Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Sukhum Lefono, because the Sifrei Chaim is also a terrifying aspect. Not only does he not want to be written in the Sifrei Meisim, but he wants to be written in the Sefer HaChaim. He needs to be able to get in there as well. And Be'ez Hashem, all of us, all our tefillahs, all throughout the year, we should zeichle, then this kavol, we should only have atzlochas, yet to Bishma.
That we're going to discuss. Can a person sit in a sukkah where the schach is made out of Surya or not? For example, we've got twigs of orlo, kelayim. Can a person sit in such a sukkah? Obviously, everyone's thinking, what's the shayla? We know mitzvahs lave honest nitnu, that mitzvahs weren't given for our benefit, but rather as an oil, as a yoke that we have to fulfill as our bodim tashem. So, therefore, when I'm performing a mitzvah, we can ignore the fact that it's made out of Surya or not. So, what should be the shayla? So, let's rephrase the shayla. To does mitzvahs love and honestly to apply to such a case? Gemara says in the Dorim that if a man makes a neder not of anah from his wife, he says koyim hanos tashmishich alai, and it's forbidden to live with his wife. And if he does, he's over bal yachel. So the Ran asks, why should this be? The chayra, the man will be performing mitzvahs such as mitzvahs oino, mitzvahs puravu, and we should apply the rule mitzvahs love and honestly to. So even though he's made a neder that his wife is also bal notim, but because mitzvahs love and honestly to, we should allow him to live with his wife. So the Ran answered the following. יש לא ימא, דחי אומינו מצווס לב להונס נדעו, הני מין לא ימא שאין קימה מצווס חושב הנוע. אבל מכל מוקרים, אם סעני גופי ועדי דמקיים מצווה, הנוע מקרי. Says the Ram, that which you say mitzvahs lav nehonis nitnu means only that the hanos ruchni a person has from being mekayim mitzvah, that satisfaction, or the schar maybe even, that a person gets from mekayim mitzvah is not included in the historia of the Torah. When the Torah asks anything by hanor, when a person makes a neder not to hanor from particular items, the Torah is only talking about physical hanor, gashmistik hanor, but the hanos ruchni that the person gets from his mekayim mitzvah is not included. That's the rule of mitzvahs lav nehonis nitnu. It says around, but if there's an asa guf with the mitzvah, in addition to the key mitzvah, there's also an asa guf, then we can't apply mitzvah lav nehonis nitnu. And the Ram brings a raya. The Ram says, "Mufurish of Gemara in Rosh Hashanah." The Gemara says, "Hanoy de hanor min amayin." Someone who makes hanor not have hanor, makes a neder not have hanor from springs. Tovel boy b'meisach shomim. He can do tefillah in the winter. Avodoy b'meisach hamor. In the summer, he can't do tefillah. Why can't he do tefillah in the summer? Tefillah is also a mitzvah. So the Ram says, because he's getting anos aguf, he's cooling off in the summer, as well as the mitzvah, since there's additional anos aguf, we can't use mitzvah slav nehonis nitnu. So the Ram holds that mitzvah slav nehonis nitnu is only for the actual key mitzvah, but when there's an additional anos aguf, we can't apply mitzvah slav nehonis nitnu. Rashbo, however, he asks the same question as the Ram here, that in our case in the Dorim, the man should have a mitzvah slav nehonis nitnu, and Rashbo gives different teretz. Rashbo actually spits out two mitzvahs separately, and the second question is that the man's got a mitzvah puruvu. And the Rashba answers, because he can fulfill his mitzvah through Isha Acheres, not Mechuv, Puruvu with his wife, he's got no heta of mitzvah Nehonis Nidnu. So we might come back to the Rashba later, but one thing we see from the Rashba, the Achronim Amadaik, is from the fact that Rashba didn't answer simply like the Ram, that since here there's Hanos HaGuf, we can't apply mitzvah Nehonis Nidnu, shows us that in principle the Rashba is Chilik. Rashba holds, and normally we can apply mitzvah Nehonis Nidnu even when there's additional Hanos HaGuf with the mitzvah. So the obvious question is, why should this be so? The Ram runs right. Why should the Hanos HaGuf, a physical Hanos, which is forbidden, why should it suddenly become allowed? Because I'm performing a mitzvah. So on this, there's a famous Rav Shimon Shkop, who explains that all the Surah Hanos of the Torah, whenever the Torah says something to Os Banor, the Torah, not like we think that what's Os is to have the Hanos, to receive any of the benefit. But rather, the Rav Shimon says, the Torah asked the Ishtamshus and Hanos to Eretz Atzmoy, using the Hanos for your own benefit. Taking the Hanos for yourself, that's what the Torah asked. If someone's taking an anor for the mitzvah, and by the way, he receives some anor, says Rav Shimon, that's not included in the Isuri Torah. Whenever the Torah asked an item and said this item is out of bounds, it's only if we take from the item for ourselves. If we're taking for a mitzvah, and the mela we get receive some anor from it, it's okay. Therefore, says Rashba, mitzvah lav nehonis nitnu. Now, it's a swaro, mitzvah lav nehonis nitnu. If I'm performing a mitzvah, if I'm busy doing a mitzvah, and by the way, I get some anor, it's okay. So it comes out, we have machlokes ran Rashba. Does mitzvah slav nehonis nitnu apply when there's an additional hanos aguf? The Ram holds that it doesn't apply, and the Rashba holds it does. So the Chora, our original Shaila, is toila on this machlekes. The Fi, the Ram, who holds that when there's an additional hanos aguf with the ki mitzvah, we don't say mitzvah slav nehonis nitnu, it should come out that it'd be also to sit in the sukkah where the sach is made out of history or not, because I'm enjoying the shade, I'm protected from the elements, so it should come out be also. Whereas the feeder Rashba, it should come out to be mutter to sit in such a sukkah, because Rashba holds normally when I'm becoming mitzvah, even if there's additional hanos aguf, it's also mutter. So it should come out. Our shayla is machlokes ran Rashba. However, there's another gemara in the Dorot. The gemara says there's a difference between a neder and a shvua. Now what is a neder is hal advar mitzvah, and a shvua isn't. That means a neder. First, he makes a neder, and he asks an item on himself. He says this item is asr banor on me. It's chal, even if it takes effect, even if it means that this person won't be able to perform a mitzvah with this item. Whereas a shvua, a person can't make a shvua against the mitzvah, a person can't make a shvua to do or not to do a mitzvah. And the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference between a neder and a shvua? So, the Abaye comes along and says the following, Omar Abaye, hod omar hanah sukkah olai, hod omar shvua shlo elim asukkah. Which many Rishonim explain this Gemara as follows. A neder is an issa chefza. A neder is, I usher the item of myself. The item is now like a piece of chazah to me. So when I made this item asa, there's no reason for the neder not to be chal. This item has no chiyuvim. So the neder is chal, and this item comes asa to me. Now I want to perform the mitzvah, it's too bad. This item is asa to me. What can I do? I'm stuck. So the neder is chal on dvar mitzvah. Whereas when it comes to shvua, a shvua is a gabra. A shvua, when a person puts an is on himself, I will do something, I won't do something. So when it comes to shvua, since he's got a mitzvah, he's already mechuyav to do something, he can't place himself. Can't place on himself another chiyuv on top of that not to do something. He's mechuyav to eat matzah. He can't ask the matzah. He's mechuyav to eat the matzah. So by shvua, a shvua is not chal v'mitzvah. So that's what Abai explains. That's the difference between an Eid and a Shvuah. Now Abai's Lashon is, Hod Omar Hanah Sukkah Olai, Hod Omar Shvuah El Nah Sukkah. The example he gives for an Eid is that he says Hanah Sukkah Olai, he asks the Sukkah himself. And the Shvuah is Shvuah El Nah Sukkah. In the case of an Eid, it works, the Sukkah is awesome on him, and he can't give the Sukkah. And in the case of Shvuah, he can't make a Shvuah against the Mitzvah. On that, Rava asks, Omar Rava, Vichy Mitzvah Slehonis Nidnu. A Mitzvah is given for Hanah. The Ran explains, and he changes the Lashon slightly to Yeshiva Sukkah Olai. Now the Ran immediately explains that Rava's not coming to argue with the logic of Abaya. Of course, Rava agrees that the chilik between Neda and Shvuah, like we said. Only Rava is arguing that how could you, Abaya, say in the case of Neda, Hoda Omar Hanah Sukkah Olai, it would be awesome for him to sit in the Sukkah because he made a Neda sit in the Sukkah and Neda is Chal Va Mitzvah. It says Rava, Mitzvah Allah Mehonis Nidnu, Mitzvahs weren't given for Hanah. So even if he made a Neda, not a Hanah from the Sukkah, and this Sukkah should be a forbidden item to him, but since he's performing a Mitzvah, it should be okay. So the Chayra, we have a Furshu Gemara, that by Sukkah we can apply Mitzvahs Allah Mehonis Nidnu. So all the Mepharshim ask, Bishlem Rifi the Rashba that holds when it's Anos Aguf with the mitzvah, that we can imply Mitzvah Slav Mahonis Nidnu, understand the Gemara which says that by Sukkah there's Mitzvah Slav Mahonis Nidnu. But according to the Rana Daf earlier, who says that when there's an additional Anos Aguf with the mitzvah, we can't apply Mitzvah Slav Mahonis Nidnu, how can Rava say that by Sukkah, where you're getting shade and you're protected from the elements, how can Rava say that there's a Mitzvah Slav Mahonis Nidnu? There's several Mahasim that the Acharon need to answer the Ran. The first is the Rishash. Rishash says, perhaps because he's got a house where he lives in all year round, it's not considered benefited from the sukkah, because really he could be in his house. And because, so now that he goes into the sukkah, it's not called benefited from the sukkah. And the Rishash brings a raya from a Gemara. The Gemara says they've got a zvina de Roma Lapi. You've got a sale which is exclusively beneficial for the moicha. Moicha got lots of stock. And the Gemara says in Dorim, for Uvei made a neda, not a manah from Shimon. It's a different kind of sale, it's a different halachas. So if Rav made a neid on top of Shimon as a sale, which is only beneficial for the seller, because the Ikeach can find this anywhere. It's very, very, very frequent, very mitsuya that you can find this item. For example, let's say Shemurim Matzahs after Pesach, so the Moichah wants to get rid of them, the Ikeach can find it anywhere. There, Rav can buy from Shimon, because it's not considered Rav is getting enough from Shimon, because Rav can find this somewhere else. So it's not called getting from Shimon. So therefore, says Rishash, and I've got a house which I live in all year round, it's not called benefits from Sukkah. Therefore, the Ran agrees that by Sukkah, we can apply Mitzvah Slav Mahonis Nidnu. That's the Rishash's Teretz. And the Choyer, the Rishash's Apele. Because what's the comparison? When I make a Nidah, not have an Anor from the Sukkah, even though I have a house to live in all year round, but safe, I'm having an Anor from the Sukkah when I stay in the Sukkah. Would anyone suggest that if I make a Nidah, not have an Anor from a piece of cake, that I can eat this piece of cake because I have another cake in my house? Of course not. When I'm eating this piece of cake, I'm benefiting from this piece of cake. So when I can make a neda from this sukkah is also me, who cares that I have another house to live in? This sukkah, I'm soif, when I sit in the sukkah, I'm benefiting from the sukkah. And it's no comparison to the case of the sale. The case of the sale, Reuven made a neda not from Shimon, from his friend, not from the item. So there we say that's not considered Shimon being mahanemi, because Shimon's not making this item available to me because I could have found it somewhere else. The Ran himself says that if I was to make a neda not from his items, it would always be also whatever price I pay. So I'm not considered benefiting from him because he's not giving me this item, I could find it somewhere else. But when I make a neda not to have an or from a particular item, from a sukkah, or from a piece of cake, of course I can never eat this cake, even have other options, because I'm safe, I'm benefiting. So the Choyer Rishash is a tzorich in. There's another teretz of Noid Bihuda. Noid Bihuda wants to suggest the following. The Rishonim bring in Shavuos, based on Yishalmi, that which we say Shavuos not chal as mitzvah, is only if I make a Shavuos exclusively on the mitzvah. If I make what's called a Shavuos HaKoylo, a Shavuos which includes other things, besides the mitzvah, other cases, then since it's chal on the other cases, which are not mitzvah, it's chal on this, says the Nadi Yehuda. So in our Gemara, when the Gemara says that a neid is chal on mitzvah, shua is not, and the Gemara says he made a shua, shle erim nasukah, in that case, the shua is not chal, because he's mechuyif to sit in a sukkah, says the Nadi Yehuda, can't be talking about when he said, I'm not being menif on the sukkah's mitzvah. It can't be talking about when I say, it must be talking about when I say, shle erim nasukah, the sukkah's mitzvah, because if it was talking about any sukkah, any heart, it would be chal, because the shua is hakoyl. So it must be talking about when he exclusively made the shua against the sukkah, therefore it's not chal. It says in the Yehuda Kiddush that because I'm making the neda dafka on a sukkah shal mitzvah, it's mislama that my das is to asa only the key mitzvah. If my das was to asa the hetzel, the shade, and the hanos the hanosa guf I get from a sukkah, then why should I asa dafka a sukkah shal mitzvah? I should asa any hap on myself. From the fact that I'm only asking a sukkah shal mitzvah, it's mistama to say, says the Nabi Huda, that I'm answering the key mitzvah, really the key mitzvah of sukkah on myself, but not the Hanasa Guf, because if it was Hanasa Guf, I should ask every sukkah. says Rabbi Yehuda, on the Kiyum Mitzvah alone, on the Kiyum Mitzvah itself, of course, the Ram, everyone agrees that I can stay Mitzvah Talmud unless they do. So says Rabbi Yehuda, our Gemara is talking about when the Neda wasn't on the Sukkah as a general, the Sukkah itself, only on the Kiyum Mitzvah Shal Sukkah, that prop I made the Neda. Therefore, I can stay in the Sukkah, says Rabbi Yehuda. Based on this, if I make a Sukkah with a Sukkah out of Yisrael Noah, of course it will be also to feed the Ram. Because this Gemara is only when I made the Neda, particularly on the Kiyum Mitzvah. But any time my Guf is benefiting from what I asked, about the Biasa. That's the Nadi Behuda's Mahalach. Then there's another Mahalach of the Oenig Yom Tov. The Oenig Yom Tov, and many others say this later, Achorinim say this, says the Moedic Kisoit. They say that Sukkah is different from all other mitzvahs. When it comes to, when does the Ran say that additional Hanor Sa Guf is Asa? Is only when the Hanor and the mitzvah are two separate things. For example, the Tefillah. The mitzvah of Tefillah is to be the immerse your body completely in water, and the Hanor a person gets in the summer when he's cooling off, there's no Shaykhus the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to be in the water, and the Hanor is completely separate. It's a mitzvah, the Hanor he gets is no Shaykhus the mitzvah. Then says the Ram, since you've got only in the summer, you can't separate the two Hanors, they come together, but since the Hanor is no Shaykhus the mitzvah, Mitzvah Salam Yehonis, and it won't allow us to be matted the Hanor because we're doing a mitzvah, because the Etzah, the two Hanor, there's no Shaykhus. But says the Oenig Yom Tov, when it comes to a mitzvah like Sukkah, where the mitzvah is to have Hanor, the Torah says for 7 days, go leave your house and live in a sukkah like you live in your house and use the sukkah like whatever you do in your house. So the Torah is saying for 7 days, sit and enjoy and sit in your sukkah and have Hanor. That should be your living place. Then, it's as it were, the Hanor is swallowed up in the Kiyum Mitzvah. And it's all part and parcel of the Kiyum Mitzvah. It's not separate to the Kiyum Mitzvah. The mitzvah is to sit in a sukkah, to make your sukkah your house. And there, the Ram would agree that we can apply Mitzvah Salman Hanis Nidu. That's what Oenig Yom Tov says. Says Oenig Yom Tov himself in Shavuos. Based on this, who was in our case. If a person makes a sukkah with schach, and then the schach made out of surah and all, even feed the ran would be okay, because the mitzvah sukkah is different. And the ran agrees, but when it comes to mitzvah sukkah, we can say mitzvah on the holos, and even though I'm benefiting from the sukkah, because that is the very key mitzvah itself. That is in the Shutt of Tanram. Now let's go back to Rashba. We brought earlier the Rashba said, Rashba in principle holds, when there's an osa guf with the mitzvah, we don't say mitzvah on the holos, they do. Rashba said in the case of Durham, where he made a neder from his wife, it's also because Efshe Be'isha Acheres, it's possible to be kind Mrs. Purugu with a different woman who's got no heta. So the Achorinim asked many questions on this of Rashba from many places in Shas. For example, when Reuve makes a neder not Tamana from Shimon, before Shagamala he can blow from Shoifer, do other mitzvahs, he can be Machasa, Kisad Dama, Ofin Adachas. Many examples Gemara gives where you can use mitzvah and honesty, even though it's possible to do the mitzvah through someone else. So the Avnei Reuven says the following yesod in the Shutta Rashba. Now when I've got a mitzvah which is only a key mitzvah, no hanos aguf like shofar, then even if it's possible to do it through someone else, I can use the mitzvah to honest nidu and do the mitzvah through him. Let's say I made the neder, Reuven made the neder, not Tamana from Shimon. Shimon can blow shofar for him. But says the Avnei Reuven, whenever it comes to a mitzvah where there's hanos aguf as well, in addition to the mitzvah, then if it's possible to fulfill the mitzvah through different means, through mutaduka means, I got no head to mitzvah on honest nidu. If the only way to fulfill the mitzvah is this item, which is asa, then I can apply Mitzvah Salam Maholos Nidu. That's what the Avnei Reuven says in Shittas Rashba. And Chayra, the hezbo for that is the fear of Shimon we brought earlier. Shimon says, when I'm doing it for the mitzvah, it's not called taking it for myself. I'm taking the mitzvah, and by the way, I get Hanor. So when there's a mitzvah which is only a key mitzvah, that's posher, that's called doing it for the mitzvah. If all Hanor is a key mitzvah alone, then that's posher, that's considered doing it for the mitzvah. So that would be avada, right, even if it's Efshar Alei Acher. But when it comes to a mitzvah where there's Hanor as well, like tefillah, like tashmish, or whatever case may be, like sukkah, then, says the Avnei Reuven in Shor Ashpo, depends. If it's Efshar Alei Acher, if it's possible to get Hanor through somewhere else, so the mitzvah's not forcing me to do it through this, let's say this isha, I could do it through other isha. Then, says Ashpo, you can't apply mitzvah to Avnei Reuven, but the mitzvah's not forcing me to take this, so it's considered I'm taking it for myself. But the mitzvah didn't push me, whereas when it's not Efshar Alei Acher, if this is the only item I can use to fulfill my mitzvah, then it's not considered me taking the Hanor. The mitzvah's pushed me into this item. By the way, I get Hanor, but I have to. Well, the mitzvah's mechayim me to take this. It's not considered me taking the Hanor for myself. I have to take this Hanor to become kind of mitzvah. So I have to do this mitzvah. And by the way, I receive some Hanor. That is the Avnei Reuven. Says the Avnei Reuven, according to this, the Rashba could hold that it would be also to sit in such a sukkah with Surah Hanor, since you can tie in it, it's possible to get different schach, you can get kosher schach. So since you can't, it's possible to cover your sukkah with kosher schach, you have no heta to sit in a sukkah made out of a surah. So it could come out completely forget what we originally thought. It could be that the feed Ran, who we originally thought should be offered to sit in such a sukkah, because the Ran normally holds that when it's Hanos HaGuf with the mitzvah, we don't apply mitzvah to the Holiness Nitnu. It could be now the feed Sfaras or in the Yontav. It'd be Mutter, because sukkah is different. And it could be Faket and feed Rashbah. Rashbah we originally thought were told that be Mutter is such a sukkah, because Rashbah holds that we can apply mitzvah to the Holiness Nitnu even when it's Hanos HaGuf. So it could be the feed of Avnim Roy. It would be Osir. Avnim Roy says, since it's possible to give different schach, it's awesome. And just to finish off, in the end, the shtikal achonim for Simchas Torah, as not for shayla, does mitzvah love and honesty to apply to mitzvah Talmud Torah? So there's a Shulchan Aruch which says that if a person makes a neder to usher his sforim on someone, then he can't. The Reuven makes a neder not to have an offering, until that Shimon can't use his, can't have an offering from him, he can't use his sforim. So the Taz wants to say because even the mitzvah Talmud Holiness, the mitzvah it doesn't apply to Talmud Torah, the Horaya Ovos also to learn Torah, because by Torah, okay, he should have an law, and therefore he can't apply mitzvah Talmud Holiness, and it's also to use his sfarim. The Meshev Mesivas doesn't like this task for various reasons. One of them, he says in Furush Rav, the Gemara in the Dorim says that the person who made the Neda, Reuven made the Neda, not a law from Shimon, Shimon can teach him certain Torah, any Torah topic which doesn't cost money, which there's no fee of babysitting. He can charge it, and he can learn with him. And the Ran says, Mufurish, because Mitzvah Salam Mahonis didn't know. So he says, Klo, we see from the Ran, we say Mitzvah Salam Mahonis didn't know even by Talmud Torah. The truth is, there's Mufurish or Avram Ben Ahor, or Furish or Rishon in the Dorim. Avram Ben Ahor says, like the Taz, that there's no Mitzvah Salam Mahonis didn't know by Talmud Torah. The Gemara's talking about there, that someone makes an Eidah, not Tamil Torah, Reuven makes an Eidah, not Tamil Torah from Shimon. So the Lotha is, Reuven can't benefit from anything that belongs to the town, because Shimon has a chilik in the town's things. For example, the town square, the shul. And the Gemara says even the Sfarim, the scrolls, the Torah scrolls of that shul, Reuven can't benefit from because Shimon's got a chilik in whatever the town owns. So the Rav Ram ben Ahor asked there, Daf Mem Ches and Dorim, why should the Sfarim be Aser? The Chorim should apply this Islam Mahonis Nidnu. So on that, the Rav Ram ben Ahor says the following. Lo kashahi, the lo shayach mitzvah Mahonis Nidnu, the shayach odom oisa, inim mischavin l'dva hanor, sh'inim oisa l'dva hanor s'gufoi. Normally, a person is doing it just for the mitzvah. But he says, "Aber mitzvah limud shu inin tziru halevi dias haemes." A person has to feed his brain with emes. Ike had tzivoy hu kedei l'tzayir ho emes ulis aneig ve'honois ve'mazal le'samech le'vovo ve'sichloi ke'lechsev ve'kudei Hashem yishorim samchelev. Says the Rav Ram ben Ahor, when it comes to Talmud Torah, forget you can't apply mitzvah lav mehonos nitnu, because the mitzvah is to, when you're learning Torah, to feed your brain with the Geshmaka Emeser Vot. So with the Torah, we have a Machloikas, the Ran, and Rav Ram ben Ahor, do we say Mitzvah Lav Mehonos Nitnu about Talmud Torah? There's a famous Egli Tal in Akdoma. Egli Tal writes that I've heard people make a mistake, that they say that if a person learns and enjoys his learning, then it's not so much Lishma, because he's enjoying his learning. And on that, the Egli Tal writes, but other Abba, it's a big mistake. He said, "Ikke mitzvahs limud Torah, the yisos the someach, and this anig b'limudah." A person has to enjoy his learning. V'oz the retoyin v'loim b'domoy, and then the retoy gets absorbed into his blood. And after shenelim the retoy who nasa dovuk the Torah, and that's how he becomes dovuk the Torah. He enjoys his learning and becomes one with the Torah. So the chayra, according to what we said, this egli tal the chayra is machlekes ran rashba ran rom lahor, because Ran says you do say mitzvahs lav and honestly by Talmud Torah, but according to that oneg yontov we said earlier that in the shittas Ran, when the mitzvah is the hanor, that's a good for a reason to say mitzvah Islam Mahonis Nitnu, because that is the key mitzvah itself. So according to the Enig Yontov, even the Ran will be to the Egli Tal. Because Talmud Torah, the mitzvah is to have hanor, that's a good for a sibah to apply mitzvah Islam Mahonis Nitnu. And therefore the Egli Tal comes to Kula Alma. Thank you.